In this episode, I would take the opportunity to pay my respect, my homage, my pranam to my guru, Pandit Shyamal Ghosh. His musicianship, his humanity, his affection, his love, his dedication, his musical sensibility. Recently, last year probably, I was at the house of Manmatha Ghosh in Pathuria Ghata, and the family's descendants are still living in that house with memories of the past. And one member of the family told me that, you know, he heard Shyamal Ghoshji saying that every time he had an opportunity to play with Ustad Amit Khan Sahab, we know that he was one of the favorite tabla players of Ustad Amit Khan Sahab, Shyamal Ghoshji would always be in anxiety and apprehension. Now, it's very easy to misunderstand that as nervousness. Mm-hmm. In Shyamal Ghosh's case, it was not so.
Definitely.
He explained on a rare occasion what was that anxiety about. Basically, when Amir Khan sir tuned the Tanpuras, you know, his preference was Ni Sa Sa Sa, and then he put his voice in between the two Tanpuras with the mild accompaniment of the harmonium, the soundscape, the sound ambience he created was so perfect that to make it an entry with a tabla stroke was of great, should be with great delicacy. Otherwise, it is like a bowl of glass and you can just destroy the whole thing with a wrong stroke. So that was his level of sensitivity, that or sensibility, that every note, every stroke, every touch on the two drums, Baya and Dahina, had to be in understanding of the delicacy of the music that he was part of. If you can contribute anything more on top of that, it's even better. And that's what it did. We all know that. And my personal experience of listening to him in all of the musical concerts, every time I heard with Bhimsen Joshiji or any musician, we would wait for his tonality to refresh our ears. All night we might have listened to so many tabla players, brilliant, each one of them brilliant in their own individual ways. But when we talk about his tonality, the tonality was actually a personification, impersonification of his character. The sweetness, the groundedness, the kind of the philosophical emblem of his persona, that his tonality, his musical outlook, his musical approach, everything was a reflection of his inner self, in a sense. And when he passed away, all the comments I received from all musicians, music lovers, music connoisseurs, was in addition to his musical quality, his quality as a human being, which is a very rare found. I mean, we get compliments about musicians, about their musicianship, but very seldom we hear people talk about what a great, what a fine, what a divine musician, human being he was or she was. My personal experience of being under his wings, it's one of the rare opportunities for any student or disciple that he approached me. We were working together at All India Radio. One day he was sitting by the reception counter, and he had been, of course, you know, there with such transparency, observations. They have been watching everyone in their behavior, in their conducts, in their musical approach, playing, dedication, everything. So out of those things, one day he asked me that, if you wish, I'll be happy to teach you.
Wow.
And from there until our last visit, when I came back from United States, that was the last time I saw him. It was a very interesting situation. He invited me to see him at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And that day he had a house full of guests. They came to negotiate marriage of his son. They came in the late morning to have breakfast and then lunch and then afternoon chat. All of that was going on. At 4 o'clock, by that time, his expectation was that everyone would be leaving and he'll be back to music. Because he couldn't tolerate too much of earthly talks. And half an hour was just enough for him. And he had tolerated all of this from 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock. And when I came in, he literally burst. He said that, enough, this is enough. Now you have to just give us time. I can't be engaged in such things anymore. So obviously it would take a group of people some time to leave. We can't just literally drive them or kick them out. So they were taking their time and he couldn't wait. He said, well, come with me to the bedroom. So he took me to the bedroom and I don't remember whether it was Dilip or his son, Shorab Bubla, one other person. So three of us were in the bedroom. And then he asked the door to be shut. You know, he had a paralytic attack much earlier, so he couldn't do these things himself. He had to depend on others for quite a few things. It was very painful to observe that. But quite shockingly, what he said, that he sat down on the mattress and instructed the other person that climb up. You know, there was a loft. On the loft, he had his old compositional books where he documented his lessons. I was amazed to see, Dilip, that he had actually page marked quite a number of compositions for me. And he was waiting all year long. Throughout the year, he was putting those page marks that when Chami comes, I want to give these compositions to him. And it was so precious that I brought out my recorder. He said, no, 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 no recording. Learn it now. Recording, we can think about that later on. Because he was so passionate about each of those compositions that he wanted to recite. He wanted me to recite and get to the essence of the compositions, the poetry, the language, the structure. All of the details, the reason why he chose those particular compositions out of thousands he had. Sometimes you have a feeling, you know in advance, ahead of time, that time is up.